I think mental well-being is starting to be on the forefront of everyone's kind of mind, but I don't want it to be a text, like a checkbox. I need it to have like an effective approach. And for me, this hub really kind of nails that down.
So many of them come into sessions going, I hate maths, maths is boring, ugh. But getting them to, it's not so bad after all, is such a big, major kick of encouragement.
The world of SEND is really tricky at the moment, and it's getting trickier and trickier. And if we can start at the very top with the people who are supporting these young, vulnerable learners, then we can have more scope the more people we have in this hub.
It's important to us that we have such a range of different topics because we really want to deep dive into our specialisms and have a chance to nerd out on the most granular and strategic elements.
Hello and welcome to the Qualified Tutor Podcast, the podcast that brings you the latest in the world of tutoring, edtech, and education, and hopefully inspires in you the big change that each and every one of us is capable of. Qualified Tutor is an industry-leading tutor training organization and online tutoring community for thousands of tutors around the world. This podcast is the voice of this community, where we aim to hear from tutors, teachers, entrepreneurs, coaches, business experts, students, tutorpreneurs, and more from the world of tutoring about what inspires them every day, how they can help tutors like you, and what they've learned about tutoring along the way. The question is, what will you learn today?
Hi, it's your regular host, Ludo Miller here. This week, I'm passing hosting responsibilities over to not so irregular fellow host, Julia Silver, founder of Qualified Tutor, who will be leading the conversation around the launch of the Qualified Tutor Specialist Hubs. These hubs, which were officially launched at the end of the Love Tutoring Festival 2 in late January of this year, are launching proper. It's the end of the free trial on Sunday the 6th of March next week. We got the time to speak to 4 out of the 7 hub leaders today, which is a pretty big achievement given how busy their diaries are. It's an open, honest, and vulnerable conversation between truly committed practitioners, and I defy any listener not to at least check out the various hubs at the end of this episode. You can find all subscription information about each of these 6 specialist hubs. That's English, Maths, Science, Special Educational Needs and Disabilities, the Business of Tutoring, and Wellbeing, each of which run fortnightly live meetups with plenty of learning and discussion in between. And you can find all of that at qualifiedtutor.org/specialist-tutor-hubs. That's qualifiedtutor.org/specialist-tutor-hubs. Enjoy.
Okay. Welcome. I've been looking forward to this so much, and Ludo gave me the huge treat of interviewing you guys for the podcast because you, our specialist hub leaders, are gems in the Qualified Tutor community because you bring your specialism and your enthusiasm together to contribute to our big movement of raising standards in tutoring together. And that key point together is what this is all about. We believe that tutors need tutors. We believe that we need to be working alongside each other as colleagues, and we need to have mentors, we need to have guidance, we need to build feedback loops, and we need to have a safe place to ask our questions and be human beings. So that's what the specialist hubs are all about. They're a chance for us to be vulnerable, to be open, to be honest, to be curious, to be reflective, and to be professionals above all, in that really, really human way that we value so highly. So Without further ado, I'm going to ask each of our specialist leaders to introduce themselves. And I've only given them 60 seconds, so if they speak really fast, please forgive them. Andrea, I'm starting with you.
I had to be first, didn't I? Well, thank you, Julia. Well, my name's Andrea Gadsby. I have got 18 plus years now in education as an English teacher, subject leader, and obviously more recently, yeah, with ECT training, so early careers teachers training and CPD development. And I've taken the best of that, hopefully, and got into tutoring, where I tutor students that range from a lovely group of year sixes at the minute to 11 plus all the way through to A level. And I wanted to do the tutor hub because I wanted to bring the best of my experience and encourage others and take some of my nerdiness about English and about pedagogy and sort of raise the bar for what we tutors can achieve, particularly in the very idiosyncratic tutor space where one-on-one we and sort of one to few, we can really make big strides in students' learning.
Well, I'm Helen Osmond. I have been tutoring GCSE and A-level maths now for 12 years. Love kids finally getting it with maths. So many of them come into sessions going, I hate maths, maths is boring, ugh. But getting them to, it's not so bad after all, is such a big, major kick of encouragement for them to do. That's my passion in teaching and tutoring maths. And as a hub leader, it's been great to connect with other tutors to see how they do it and to share together, all learning new ways of doing things for new approaches. And and it does help to also fill in some of those daytime hours, which is harder to fill as a tutor. So there we go, that's me.
My name's Kaylee Rapson and I am the leader of the SEND hub. I have been working with SEND children or children who are neurodiverse for more years than I can count, really. 13 years going on. I predominantly worked in early years for a really large amount of my teaching. And I worked in supporting children and families in particular. And it gave me an insight into how we can use some really basic approaches to support neurodiversity. This hub is wonderful because it allows me to share my knowledge, but also gain knowledge from lots of other amazing practitioners as well. So I'm really enjoying it.
And my name is Sarah Lynn Hodder. I have been in education for over 10 years now, but in tutoring world, I would say in the last five. The main goal of the Wellbeing Hub is to call on other educators who are really putting an emphasis on building those soft skills and providing them a safe space to share and explore all of the things that they're learning and putting into practice so we can really raise the standard and raise the bar at blending in those emotional well-being core skills that are really going to serve our students above and beyond the classroom.
Gorgeous. Thank you so much. So Andrea is running the English hub. Helen is running the maths hub. Kaylee is running special educational needs and disabilities. And Sarah Lynn is running wellbeing. We also have Georgina, who's running science. And Miguel and Sarah are running the business of tutoring hub. It's important to us that we have such a range of different topics because we really want to deep dive into our specialisms and have a chance to nerd out on the most granular and strategic elements. So let's dive into some of those for a second here. Give us a sense, please, of one of the highlights that you've had so far in the first month of the specialist hubs. What kinds of things have been happening and what's really made them come to life for you? Helen, could we start with you, please?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We had a great nerding out moment in the maths hub last week. Nerding out is definitely the right word for it. We took one quadratic equation and took 45 minutes to deep dive into what we needed to have our students learn and be secure in before we started. And the details of that. So we talked about factors and multiples and how we teach that. And we looked at some gamifying of that. We also looked at multiplication, negative numbers, and having those skills all developed before we even start the algebra of quadratics. I couldn't quite believe we took 45 minutes to do one single quadratic equation. I had way more planned, but it was fantastic. And one of the participants emailed later that day and saying that he'd already used the factor games that we'd already had and hadn't even thought about some of the approaches that we'd come to. So, yeah, I was buzzing. I had messaged the rest of the team here, of the hub leaders. We were high on adrenaline and enthusiasm after that one. It was great.
Amazing, because it's exactly what you just said with the students when they have that, like, oh, it hits the spot. And that's what you had in the hub. That's really super. Kaylee, go for it.
I think after the first hub, I realized that we were on something special, because the amount of conversation and people's feelings being known as well, it was such a safe space that we were able to express ourselves and really deep dive into the things that caused us pain as practitioners, but also allowed us to explore ways forward as well. And the connection that we made with each other just emanated into the next session as well. And I think that was a really high point, is just making all of these amazing connections with each other.
Yum! Andrea, go for it.
Well, we've had two English sessions now, and in the in the first one, we just launched straight in. It was similar to what Helen and Kaylee were saying. Everybody was just felt very at home very quickly. People were quite clear about what their needs were and what they were hoping to get from the hub, which meant I was scribbling things down furiously. And so I loved the vulnerability and the openness of which what people were hoping for and the way they approached the hub. So we looked at our strengths, weaknesses, what we were hoping to work on. But ultimately, as a tutor, when so many of us are juggling other balls, like I'm still actually working in a school as well, it could be about time or trying to find ways of being able to manage our time better so that we can become better at the nuts and bolts of what it is that we're doing, which is effectively tutoring our subject. So that was really good. And then this week, I've already had some fantastic feedback about cognitive apprenticeship that I spoke a lot about in my session, and about how we as experts can involve our tacit thinking. So the thinking that's unknown, the thinking that's innate, and how we pass that on to students. So that was quite a cerebral session where, because English is such an intuitive subject, to be able to take the intuition and the sort of flair that we experts teachers have, and then be able to sort of, how do we then express that to students? That was something that we were trying to unpack in that session by introducing people to the whole idea behind cognitive apprenticeship, which is about the thinking about our thinking and how we can translate that to students. And I've had some super feedback already about that and about all the hard work that I put into it. So yes, it will not be without making you think and making you develop, and hopefully giving you lots to practice over the coming weeks.
I love that all of the hub leaders are talking about the vulnerability that we are experiencing from not only ourselves to show up and have to kind of be really transparent about what we're looking for and what our practices are, because we're opening ourselves up to kind of questions. And I love that in the well-being hub, that vulnerability was kind of just baked right into the sessions as well. We had a lot of really beautiful conversations about mental well-being and our journeys with it. And when you want to go through, or when you sign up for a well-being hub, it can feel really intimidating, because mental health, sometimes we have this vision that it means that we're unwell or that we're not at our top form to be talking about mental health. But I think the point of the hub and the beauty that I saw in it was that we acknowledged that we actually were all being really honest, that mental well-being is something that we all experience. Mental health is something that we all have. And so having that conversation and practicing holding space for one another, I'm really excited to see how that will translate for everyone into their communities and their spaces as well.
Sarah Lynn, when you talk, you sort of bubble over with healthiness. And it's just delicious. And it makes me really feel that we're doing something really responsible here by providing this kind of conversation for tutors to tend to our own well-being and to tend to the well-being of our students. So thank you so much for bringing that to us. I wanted to ask you next about leadership, because it's not just we're launching these hubs. You guys have actually opted in to take a leadership role here. And I'd love to know what that means to you and also what's motivating you here. Kaylee, can we start with you with the Send Hub, please?
Absolutely. So as I kind of explained in the beginning, I've worked for many, many years with families of young children who have recently been diagnosed or are going through diagnosis process. And I did that in a managerial role at an early years nursery. And from that, I started training other teachers in the nursery, and it gave me so much joy to be able to share that learning and also to be learning alongside everybody else as well. And this hub just allows me to expand that, because the world of SEND is really tricky at the moment, and it's getting trickier and trickier. And if we can start at the very top with the people who are supporting these young, vulnerable learners, then we can have more scope the more people we have in this hub. So this was a really exciting, no-brainer move for me.
I think that's delish, that idea of scope, that's what it's all about, hey? Andrea, could come to you next.
Yeah, so similar to Kaylee, mine comes from a background really of training and mentoring NQTs, mentoring trainees. I did that across a multi-partnership school, a multi-academy trust on the South Coast with 16 partner schools. So I got a real kick out of actually focusing on what is the important things that new entrants to the profession have to have. And so it really made me evaluate what I think is important, because I was designing basically a whole subject leaders course for trainees coming into the profession to help them be good practitioners. And so that is hard. And I got so much out of thinking, well, what do I think is good? And just that whole reflection process and observing trainees and training trainees really made my practice better. And I want to be able to bring that to other tutors, in this idea that by forcing myself to think, oh, I'm going to read up a little bit more on cognitive apprenticeship. I've read this great book on writing skills. And to be able to bring that passion that I did have in schools for pedagogy and subject knowledge and bring them both together is the reason I want to do it. And I do feel that the transitioning from the teaching space to the tuition space is such an incredible opportunity to really drill down on what subject related sort of knowledge we can embed and build on, as well as pedagogically, because the remit is so much wider than it is in schools. And I think we just need to make sure that we've got a range of teachers or tutors that feel confident enough to be able to come to a space where they can learn and feel supported in that learning. So that's, yeah, I just love all things English as well, which helps.
Andrea, I share your passion, and not only for English, which of course I do, but also for this sense of helping other practitioners. And how sad would it have been if you'd left school and stepped off the leadership track? And how lovely that you can continue your progression as a leader in teaching and learning through this hub. And yeah. I think that's really, really important in terms of what Qualified Tutor's trying to do. We want to enable all of this expertise to be shared between us. And I'm so happy that we can sort of create these progression routes that really take us to grow ourselves and challenge ourselves, even as we step out of the classroom. Sarah Lynn, what are your thoughts?
Absolutely. So while I was teaching in the classroom, I kept noticing that I would have students come to me with mysterious belly aches and really odd headaches that would just pop up at different times. And they didn't have the language to really explain to me what was going on or how they were really feeling. And for a long time in the classroom, I felt stuck. I felt like I was being pulled in two directions. And I feel a lot of educators who decide to leave the classroom have have the same kind of feeling of being pulled. There's the want and the need and the drive to teach humans into being better, lovelier humans. And then we have the paperwork and the structure that is also there. And so I believed that the best way that I could really support students would be to leave the classroom. And that was a really big decision, and it is a really big decision, and I empathize with everyone who is on the fence still, because it's not something that we take lightly. But to stand for my value of really being able to support well-being is something that I know I'm not alone in. And so this hub to me is a wonderful space where not only can I kind of share my own experience of embedding well-being into tuition, which is what I've been doing over the last 5 years and building the business, but it's also my space to welcome in other practitioners who are curious or unsure, or who are also dealing with uncertainty in handling their students, and just giving us a conversation. I think mental well-being is starting to be on the forefront of everyone's kind of mind, but I don't want it to be a text, like a checkbox. I need it to have like an effective approach. And for me, this hub really kind of nails that down.
So I didn't necessarily come in through the classroom in the same way as many of my other hub leaders did. I did my training, but unfortunately had to withdraw from with ill health. I've been tutoring since then, keeping my teaching skills up. But without the support of having a department office, without the support of having other teachers around to learn from other approaches, other skills, how to deal with somebody that has dyslexia and is approaching a math question, or somebody that has dyscalculia and has a math problem. All of those sorts of skills I've had to gain on the fly through my first years of tutoring, just not having the background. And that's why I want to do this as a hub, is to start supporting those tutors that haven't necessarily come in through the classroom. Many that have come in from, and probably this is potentially more of a science-y side of things, science and technology and the engineering and the maths. A lot of people come into tutoring because they've come out of industry. They've come out of where they've used those skills for a job, and they've picked up tutoring to earn a few more pennies or something in the meantime, but they don't necessarily have the pedagogical skills to teach it well, or to deal with some of the misconceptions that are arising. So yeah, that's why I want to do this as a hub, because I've learned some of those. I've made those mistakes over the years that I've been tutoring. Yeah, teaching things the wrong way, or not necessarily the wisest way, so that the misconceptions develop and issues come on later if you haven't understood something the first time. So yeah, for me, it's really, really important that as we have tutors that aren't necessarily teachers first, that they have those skills to teach well, to teach their subject well, correctly.
I think there's so much empathy in what everyone said here, as well as passion for the subject. It's passion for helping people, isn't it? And helping other tutors to do a really good job for their students. And that lovely thing that Sarah Lynn said about, I know I'm not alone. I know there's other people here who would love this support also. And I think that's really where we're all coming from. Let me just have a quick taster of what's coming up on your hub in the next few weeks. Andrea, do you want to start us off?
Over the next few weeks, well, we've obviously had two free weeks of a trial week where we've just been establishing sort of expectations and who the hub members might be. But we're going to try and focus a little bit more on tying in ideas with where we are sort of in the calendar year as well. Now, obviously, the key thing that's coming up is preparation for either SATs tests for the first time in, you know, in 3 years, and also the same with GCSEs. So a lot of it ties in with some of the things that Sarah Lynn was saying as well, that a lot of people are worried about how their students are coping with that. And I sometimes have to tell parents just that we don't need to do that just yet. So it's about trying to help make sure that tutors are in the right place to be able to support, you know, students in the, you know, for the big subjects, which obviously are English and maths at GCSE. And so with English, we suddenly get a lot of influx of tutors asking about how to improve their knowledge, perhaps of the examination papers, or how to sort of look at how they can teach certain things well. So it's going to be drilling more down on that and looking at how we can support students who actually don't need additional knowledge now, because it's exam time. They just need to know how to work the exam system better and how they can apply that knowledge better. So that's what I'm going to try and do. And then also in amongst that, we've got things like International Women's Day coming up next week. So we'll be celebrating certain key aspects of fabulous women. Obviously, the ones in this virtual room are some of them. But we will be looking at things to do with calendar sort of events that are happening as well. But the key focus is going to be examination skills. How can we make sure that our students are more confident, ready for those important exams in May and June?
So we're going to be probably doing similar, sometimes we'll be doing similar to what we've done last time with the quadratic equation. We'll go and pick some other past paper topics or some of the big crucial ones. The moment within the hub, we are primarily GCSE specialists, or those that teach slightly younger who are going to be going into GCSE. So having some of the questions that could come up, are likely to come up, and looking at our approaches to those and how to help kids that are anxious as they approach those. The amount of kids that panic when they look at algebra and go, how do we help them get over that? And that is, particularly so as we build into the exam season coming up. We're hoping to get in some speakers who are going to help us with manipulatives. Maths is not as abstract as you think it is. We can use both digital and real algebra tiles and Q-snare rods and all those sorts of tools to help kids understand what for many people is an abstract concept. So we're hoping to get speakers in to help with that, and also to help us understand the misconceptions that students might have had earlier in their career in primary school maths, where they might have picked up misconceptions that we might then need to correct later on, and how that's going to impact. So that's all coming up. We have Pi Day coming up in March. Not quite sure what I'm going to do with it yet, but 14th of March, if you go with the American calendar, is Pi Day. That's P-I, not P-I-E. But I'm sure there's going to be some eating going on when we do that. So yeah, there's lots on the cards at the moment for maths.
I love that. So for the Wellbeing Hub, we are going to be starting off this week. Actually, tomorrow is World Teen Mental Health Day. So we're going to be putting some bits in the hub for current members at the moment, just to make sure that we're giving them effective strategies and tools. So maybe we can start conversations around exam prep, tying that all in. But I also think that our hub is a space where we can, as educators, find the strength and the ability to advocate for our students on their behalf. I think, as Andrea said, sometimes we have this vision of, well, we're being hired by someone, and so we are there for kind of working for them. But at the end of the day, we are there for the child. And so if we need to put boundaries around what we're teaching them in that time, and focusing more so on those softer skills of performance anxiety and building that confidence and dealing with the stress and anxiety of exam season, I think this hub will be a fantastic space to talk about the ways that we can have those potentially very difficult conversations, because it puts us in a vulnerable position of being almost on the other end of the table of a parent. And I think it's really important that we're able to kind of show that there is no other side. We're both here for the child's kind of need at the end of the day. And so working on those conversations in this hub space, I think, will be super powerful. I know I wish that I had someone to kind of soundboard off a couple of these conversations when I was going through them at the start, and even now. So I think these hubs will be a fantastic place for that.
I love that phrase, there is no other side. Absolutely love that. Go for it, Kaylee.
So feeding off what everybody else is saying, a lot of us kind of get together when we're planning, and it helps us to kind of see an overview and link everything together, because there's always a link that runs through. And for the SEND hub, I really want it to be a space for celebration. So next week, we'll be starting off with 10 minutes of celebration. And we'll be continuing that through our live hubs so that we can really talk about our successes as tutors, because that's what we need to focus on. Because there's so many sad things in the world. Let's focus on the things that are good. We will be following a lot of days in the calendar. So, for example, next month we have World Down Syndrome Day, Developmental Disabilities Month, and World Autism Awareness Week. And that runs into April as well. So April will be quite heavy on autism, which is my speciality. For the Women's Day next week, we'll be talking a lot about masking and how girls can mask a range of neurodiversities. So there's lots coming there. But what I'm really excited about is the guests that we're going to be having. So we have the education manager of Tourette's Action Group coming to talk with us. We also have her son, who is 16, doing his GCSEs, who has Tourette's and ADHD. And he's happy to come and talk to us about his experiences of school too. We'll also be talking with autistic people, because an autistic children who have been through education to get their ideas. They're actually my brothers, so they're happy to talk to me about their experiences as children going through the education system. And also with my contacts, I want to invite some parents in to talk about their experiences of children being diagnosed, what they wanted to hear at that time as well, so we can really develop the way that we connect with parents when they're going through difficult times.
That is so brilliant to bring in your personal contacts to give us that sense of context and to hear what the lived experience is. I think that's really strong, Kaylee. Thank you so much. So I'm going to be wrapping up this Hubs introduction with 60-second strategies. So I'm going to ask you each to share with us from your specialism a 60-second strategy that will boost somebody's practice in your subject. No pressure. Sarah Lynn, off you go.
Okay, so one of the first things that I would say is to lean in to the feelings that you hear your students say. So if we hear a student say, oh my gosh, algebra, I hate math, math isn't my strongest, like, get curious about that. Ask them why. Talk to them about what makes them nervous, because, you know, once upon a time, I would have probably just brushed them off and said, no, you're fine. Come on, let's just do it. But then that actually closes us down for having vulnerable conversations and really getting to the root cause of it. A lot of the time, it isn't the math. It's the fear of not getting something right. And so we need to lean into those conversations. So my suggestion would be to get curious, be uncomfortable, hold space. And I think a lot of magic will come from that.
That was beautiful. Thank you. Kaylee, go for it.
I think most people will expect me to say visual timetables because I love a visual timetable. But actually, I'm going to deter away from that and talk a little bit just off of what Sarah Lynn said and putting yourself in children's situations. So I'll give you an example. My little brother, for a very long time, would put his head against the TV when it was, you know, the black and white fuzzy things. And we used to think, what on earth is he doing? Until I actually put myself in that situation and experienced what he was experiencing, then I could understand. So try and put yourself into situations that are new to you, situations that your children are exploring, any sensory issues that they're exploring, to better understand it and to then move them on and to give them the experiences that they're craving.
So for maths, I hate this question. One strategy. Narrowing it down was hard. Make it pictorial. Make it something they can visualize for your students. Find a way of making it something that they can see, either digitally or in your hands, some way for them to picture what is going on so that they can start to grasp it. If you can link it to what they're interested in, even better. A lot of people find maths boring. So if you can link it to Premier League football tables, done that. Quality street tins, done that. I'm a big food person. Relate it to what they need and make it something they can picture. Was that 60 seconds?
Yes. And Andrea, that was perfect. It was 58.
Oh, wow. No pressure. No pressure. So to wrap up, one of the things that I do with younger students, we often have a little bit of a score. So I'll often have an interactive board up, and the students can either put in the chats the number that they feel that they're feeling as they come in. So it ties in a little bit with what Sarah Lynn was saying with the little ones, like between 0 and 10, how are you feeling? And I said, and then we'll revisit it at the end. And often then they're so excited, they're writing in that they feel 10 million in the chat, which is really, really cute. So that works with the younger ones. With the older ones, I always start with retrieval, because it's hard enough as a teacher for students to remember what they learned last lesson. So I often start with thinking, all right, we've got to have, I call it their five a day, and it could be pictorial. I usually have a range of different aspects. So I tend to always start with retrieval because they've got to try and remember what they learned 7 days ago, never mind last lesson. So particularly as a tutor, I might then put what they've learned last week, last month, last term. So you're trying to keep those sort of cognitive load light, but also trying to keep their working memory supported. So yes, I would say retrieval, start off with something that's retrieval based, and that's something I will be covering in the hubs. And also try and do with younger ones something fun to engage them that gets them thinking about their moods and where they are when they literally come through your virtual door.
That was more than a 2-for-1. That was a 3 or a 4-for-1 there, Andrea. Thank you so much, over-delivering as usual. You guys, our hubs are going to be amazing. Science, maths, English, special educational needs, business, and well-being. We are so fortunate to have so many experts around us and amongst us. And I'm so grateful to you all for volunteering, for bringing your time and your skills to the table.
You've been listening to Kayleigh Rapson, Sarah Lynn Hodder, Andrea Gadsby, Helen Osmond, and of course, Julia Silver. Now, for all information, as I mentioned at the start of this episode, about subscribing to one or more of the hubs, simply go to qualifiedtutor.org/specialist-tutor-hubs. If you can't remember that, just head to qualifiedtutor.org and you'll easily navigate your way to the specialist hubs. You can sign up from today, or at any point over the next couple of weeks. But the first paid sessions of the hub will be starting on week commencing Monday the 7th of March. At time of recording, that's next week. But if you're catching up on this, you can go to qualifiedtutor.org and sign up for the hubs at any point that you like. They'll be running for the next month, for the next 12 months, for the next 10 years, we hope. So that's your next place to head now, and we'll see you all next time. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Qualified Tutor Podcast. Whether you're a regular listener of this podcast or you've just stumbled across it, join the Qualified Tutor Podcast group within the Qualified Tutor community to stay up to date with our latest news, offers, workshops, and of course, simply to meet other tutors like you. Whatever your level as a tutor, our training courses will be the next step in your professional development. Visit qualifiedtutor.org/training. to find out more about our CPD accredited and Ofqual recognised courses, the first of their kind in the tutoring industry. Your student deserves the best tutor possible. Make that happen today by joining Qualified Tutor.org.